next question we have is that a number of people have asked that what is haram to do when engaged with intimacy? What are the acts that we should be aware of that are not allowed to do? So again, this is a very sexually explicit question. And so again, be advised that this is not a talk that is meant for young children. So the question therefore is, what is haram between couples to do? With regards to what is forbidden in the Sharia, two things are explicitly forbidden. Two things are forbidden directly in the text of the Quran and Sunnah. And the first of these is anal intercourse. This is something that is absolutely forbidden without a doubt. Allah says in the Quran, نِسَاؤُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. Your women are, your wives are like a cultivation or like a field unto you, and therefore approach your wives however you wish to approach them. Now, the fact that Allah mentions a cultivation, our scholars have derived, in fact even the tabi'un have derived, that the meaning therefore is that the cultivation occurs obviously from the vagina. It doesn't occur from the other organ, and therefore there is an indirect disapproval of anal intercourse. As for the ahadith, there are numerous ahadith reported by over 7 sahaba with over 10 different chains regarding this concept of forbidding anal intercourse. And in fact, this verse that I just quoted you, according to a number of authentic ahadith, it was revealed because somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about a certain issue of sex and sexuality, and this verse came down to respond to that. And there are a number of ahadith that forbid anal intercourse. Of them is the hadith in Abu Dawood that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever comes to his wife while she is menstruating, that's the second prohibition, we'll talk about that, or from her back, meaning from her anus, from her back, has disbelieved in what has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first thing that is completely forbidden is anal intercourse. There's no question about that. The second that is completely forbidden as well, but to a lesser degree, but it is still haram. Both of them are haram, but there's degrees of haram. And the second thing that is haram or sinful is to engage in intercourse during the period of the menses. That during that time frame, vaginal intercourse is not allowed. Vaginal intercourse is not allowed. The Quran says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيلِ. They ask you about the menses. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَن. Say, it is something that is an irritation. So, فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيلِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So avoid approaching women during the time of their menses, and do not come close to them until they purify themselves, right? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهَرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ. Once they have done the ghusl, then you may approach them from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you. Ibn Abbas said, from where Allah has allowed you, meaning the vagina, not the anus. So again, this verse has also been used to indirectly forbid anal intercourse. And Aisha radiallahu anha reports that once when her menses began, she was lying next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she became embarrassed. This must have been early in the marriage, and so she left the bed and she went to sleep somewhere else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is the matter? So she explained that she had begun her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't worry, put on another garment and then come next to me. And of course the meaning here is that once the menses have begun, of course the lady does not become najis, which is something that some other faith traditions, they believe to this day. There are some faith traditions, including Orthodox Judaism as well, that when the lady is in her menses, that her persona, her body should not be touched. Anything she touches as well, it is becomes impure. And in our Sharia, that is not the case. And in another hadith in Sahih Bukhari, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked that, O Messenger of Allah, what is permissible for me and my wife when she's in her menses? He literally asked the question, what is halal? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you may do everything other than intercourse. اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح. Everything is permissible. Kissing and fondling and stimulation with the hands and with the other body parts, all of this is permissible. Anything that the two want to do, they want to play around between themselves with, it is permissible, except for the actual vaginal intercourse. intercourse. So the actual penetration is not allowed. Anything other than this, it is allowed. Realize that sexual habits and sexual mores, they vary from time to place, to society, to culture. And just because, and I need you to pay attention to this, just because a certain society disdains a certain sexual practice does not make that practice haram. Understand this point. In human history, every society has developed, its own mores and its own habits and its own mechanisms, if you like, of what is, stimulating and whatnot within the bedroom. And the Sharia has not come to dictate cultures. You may not like it, and that is your prerogative. Understand, you have a right to, within your bedroom, to not do something that you think is, inappropriate or whatnot. But don't bring religion into it and say it is haram just because your culture does not like it. And the best example for this, actually, is that we have an authentic narration that demonstrates for us that between Mecca and Medina, there were sexual variations, and the Sharia adopted a neutral stance that, hey, whatever you want to do is permissible. The Sharia came and did not prefer one over the other and said, however you want to do it, that's between the two of you. And the example here, Ibn Abbas narrates that the Ansar of Medina used to live with the Jewish people, and the Ansar adopted the sexual habits of the Jews. And in Judaism, to this day, Orthodox Judaism, no position is allowed other than the woman is on her back, which is called the missionary position. No position is allowed. You cannot have any other position. The woman has to be on her back, and there must be a sheet over the couple, and they have a lot of laws in this regard. So the Ansar, living with the Jews, they adopted that culture because they viewed the Jews as being, superior to them. They had knowledge of the book. And the Quraysh, Ibn Abbas said, they had no such qualms, and they would have intercourse from every position. The hadith actually says, Ibn Abbas says that يَشْرَحُنَّ نِسَاءَ شَرْحًا, they would flip their women around whichever position they wanted to, right? So they would have, in every position they wanted to, they would engage in intercourse, whether it was on their backs or whether it was turned around or whether it was on their sides. This is in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, right? So a muhajir man from Mecca married an Ansari lady from Medina, and he attempted to engage in intercourse with her the way that he was accustomed to. And the lady refused. And the lady said, no, we can only have intercourse on our backs, right? That's what we are accustomed to. And the news spread amongst the people that there's a major marital dispute. The talk is getting now out because there's a marital problem happening. And they're wondering, well, who is right and wrong? And the news approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so Allah azza wa jalla revealed in the Quran the famous verse that I just mentioned to you, that nisa'ukum harthul lakum fa'tu harthakum anna shi'tum. Your women are like a field unto you, so approach your women however you please. This is in the Quran, however you please. Allah is not dictating there is a position that is haram, halal. No, however the two of you want to do this. And this means that in essence, the man from Mecca basically was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do. Now, there's been a lot of questions I've gotten about, obviously, we're living at a time where, again, let's be honest here, brothers and sisters, the fetishes that are now prevalent, I'm getting all of these different questions. And subhanAllah, I don't want to go into detail here, believe it or not, there should be some haya and whatnot in this regard. I'm just going to say generically that, look, whatever is happening in the privacy of the bedroom, and it is not beyond the two things that are haram, which is anal intercourse or the intercourse during menses. Anything other than this, if one wishes to engage with one's spouse, whether it's role playing, a person can say, I don't like it, I don't find it noble. I'll be the first to say that there is a problem of over sexualization in the world that we live in. And because of this, it is affecting our marriages, and it is affecting our bedrooms as well. And it is affecting our sexual fetishes as well. If we were living in a pure environment where all of this, was not around us, we would not be asking such questions. That is the truth. I say that all of these, personal, things that a person might find pleasure in within a marriage, as long as no haram is being crossed, you're not doing zina with somebody you're not allowed to, you're not watching something you should not watch, and you are not doing the two things that we said are haram, it is best to be quiet, and the couple can decide, what they want to do in this regard, and it is up to them, and there is no sin when it is in the privacy of one's bedroom. Before I finish this, one thing also needs to be said, that to be very clear, This needs to be done by mutual consultation, meaning that the husband cannot force his wife to go above and beyond something that is the natural intercourse, and the vice versa.
Are you tired of all these annoying ads on YouTube? Are you worried that a haram video might pop up? Well, the One Islam TV app is here to solve these problems, inshallah. The One Islam TV app is 100% free of any ads and is safe to browse for your peace of mind. Watch or listen to lectures and lessons while you work, rest, or drive with your device switched off. Watch videos on demand or download videos and watch offline. Watch hundreds of high-quality produced Islamic reminders, Quran learning videos, stories of the prophets, and so much more. 2 to 4 new videos uploaded daily, inshallah. One Islam TV is 100% run and owned by Muslims, which means a small amount you pay for your subscription is a sadaqah jariyah, continuous charity for you, as we use the funds raised to continue producing more beneficial videos and reminders. Inshallah. The One Islam TV app is now available on Apple devices, Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku, so you can watch on most devices and smart TVs. Download now for a free 7-day trial. May Allah reward you for supporting our work.